Right. We're now going to have some people talking about their experiences from Soul Survivor. So first, it is Sarah.
Okay. Oh, hi. Well, we've just got back quite recently from Soul Survivor, as you can probably tell. For all of you who don't know much about it, it's based in Shepton Mallet, and we all camp out, and it's thousands of teenagers who come and camp for 5 nights and meet together and worship God together. And I think, personally, it's something that I'm really proud of and I really love being a part of. I guess from my experience as Soul Survivor and the things I learned as Soul Survivor dates, we have to wind back to before Soul Survivor, to the place I was then. I went to this other thing which is similar to Soul Survivor. It's called New Day. And whilst I was there, I felt so blessed and so covered and amazed by God. And so many people came up to me, just even people who didn't know me, saying, "I just see a picture of a fire in your heart." And I thought, oh gosh, what does this mean? What does this mean? And I just felt God wanted me to honor my life for him, or just give him my life. And I didn't know where that would lead me or what I could do with that. And I just sort of, I felt like God had given me a map, but not told me where it leads me or where to go. So I was a bit confused and a bit frustrated, which brings us to Soul Survivor. During Soul Survivor, there we have many amazing experiences, but one of the experiences I love is the fact that we all get touched by the Holy Spirit and we all pray for each other. And I think that's a really good part, apart from... I'm really awful at praying for people. I find it really awkward, just like touching them and yeah. But I thought there was this one time that Soul Survivor, there was this girl stood up behind me and I felt God saying, "Oh, just go and pray for her." And I thought, okay, it's God telling me I should probably do it. And oh yeah, another reason why I don't like praying for people is because last year I had an awful experience where I felt God telling me something for someone and it wasn't right and I just felt really stupid. And I think it's better to just say it rather than, and it be true rather than hold it back. But then when you get it wrong, it's just awful. But this time I had that feeling again and I was like, no, this is going to happen again. It's going to be really awkward. But then I told her, this girl, what was on my heart from God, and she just burst into tears and was just like, "Thank you. I needed to hear that. Thank you so much. I've been longing to hear those words." And from that moment, I just felt that my path was clear and that God wanted me to bless others. God wanted me to pray for others. God wanted me to be there for other people and lead other people. And I just, when I felt this urge and this direction, I just felt so at peace with myself. And I felt God calling me to leadership of some sort. I'm not entirely sure if that's ministry or wherever, but I feel that God wants me to lead people and bless others. Afterwards, I thought about this a lot, and this meant putting God first, putting everything below God, making God the leader of my life and following God. And this, I read a verse, let me find it, I did write it down. Well, it's the picking up your cross daily one. You guys probably know it. and I thought about that and I was like, I have to be ready to be up for persecution for what I believe and to die for what I believe. And I was like, that's a massive step. But something that I feel now that I believe God and I love God enough to do. And then I remember just reading something that someone had told me, saying that in the Bible it says, "Do not be afraid," 365 times, which is one for each day of the year. And that just encouraged me a lot. So over the space, the Soul Survivor, I feel like I've found more of a purpose in my life. And I feel like I'm called here to encourage you about your purpose in life. I've recently, over the last couple of days, I've been reading this book by this guy called Nick Vujicic. You might know who he is, but he's this man. He's an amazing guy who was born without any limbs, but his positive attitude and his faith in God got him through all his insecurities. And he now encourages lots of people in front of millions of crowds, and people come to Jesus and feel that they are loved by Jesus for who they are. And he said that when on his journey to becoming the person he is, the one person who inspired him the most was the most person who would have been looked at as the most insignificant. The example he gives was the fact that his janitor at his school was the one who said, "Oh, wait, you should be a motivational talker." So, and that move to him might have been really insignificant, but actually, through him saying that, that inspired Nick to encourage so many people. And although we might not all be like Nick Vujicic, we can't make everyone feel amazing about themselves all the time in massive crowds and bring everyone to Jesus, we can be like the janitor. We can make these small, insignificant moves which make people feel loved, and we have no idea what those insignificant things can do. And yeah, that's all. Next is Nick, I think.
Hi. All right. Okay, so so being a Soul Survivor for another year was great. I mean, better thing to have happen every year, really. This year really just stuck out to me because I had no sense of direction before coming, and it's just really just hit me that I knew what I wanted to do straight away in the first few days, actually. So I prayed and I just kept asking God, but at home I wasn't getting anywhere. So by coming there, I just knew exactly where I wanted to be and where I wanted to get. A verse that actually hit me was from Exodus 3. And this was sort of about how we can use our talents to praise God. And this is what Moses did, actually, when he was asked by God through the burning bush to speak to Pharaoh. And here it is. So Moses was given the staff by God. This is one of the many signs for Moses. So that really just stuck out to me that I've actually been given tools, you know, to do this. And with that, I can just use everything I have to praise, but I can't do it without God. So another bit of verse. The Lord did not appear to you. It's what the people say. Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. So Moses was given help, and his calling was to speak to people through God, and that's what he did. And I just think that if we can all do that, then that's just an incredible thing. Yeah, cheers. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a song. Can I have the rest of the band, please?
So, yeah, like Sarah and Nick's, my kind of dates back before Soul Survivor. I didn't really, I felt that, I had really struggled in the past with trust in God, and I just find that a really hard concept. say, at SOS Fiverr, you get a lot of experiences, and I didn't really know what I was going to talk about, but I had this one that really stand out to me about trust with God. And pretty much, I saw this light at first, which I thought probably would represent God. But then, slowly, there started to be, like, the dark closing in all around me, and I couldn't see the light anywhere. And I kind of took that to mean, like, temptation and being drawn in to, like, temptation. And eventually, there was dark everywhere, and I couldn't see any light, which I took to mean that temptation leads you away from God. And for me, personally, when I get led into temptation, I can feel really guilty to God, which means I don't ask him for forgiveness, and which means I can end up straying from him. And so then, like, after it all went dark, it was really dark for a while, and I could just feel this massive, like, release of pain from me. And then I saw this, like, overwhelming bright light, which I just took to mean that all you need to ask is for forgiveness and God will be there for you. Because when I feel that God has left me, I feel like it's his fault, but it's not. It's my fault because I've turned my back on him. And I was thinking it's hard for God to help me if I've turned my back on him, because you can't have a conversation with someone's back. And so I just took from SOS Fiverr that I need to trust in God more and ask for more forgiveness, and he'll grant it to me.
Thank you, Jennifer. I really like how everyone in the group has sort of a different experience of how God's met with them, like Jennifer through the image, Nick through passages, and mine was different again. It's kind of odd. It was through looking at someone's phone case. It said on it, "My faith is bigger than my fear." And that's kind of a big statement, and it's something that I personally struggle with. Like, is my faith bigger than my fear? And it really challenged me to think about it. I'll give you an example of a situation that happened, like, about a year ago. It was just after Soul Survivor. And basically, as a group, after Soul Survivor, we'd been challenged to be more active in our faith and sort of go out and talk to people about God and spread his word. There was an event on at the park, like, over there, I think. And we decided we really want to go up to people and pray for them or talk to them if we felt that that was what God was telling us to do. We were also on the Skittles, so we had to set up that up as well. After a while, there was a guy, like, standing by the tent where the Skittles were. And I thought God was telling me to go and pray for him. So I was thinking this through in my head. And after just coming back from Soul Survivor, it was really scary. I don't know, like, where the fear was from, if it was, like, I didn't know what I wanted to say to him, or if I was more worried about his reaction. But he then went away, which, to be honest, I was kind of relieved about, because then I didn't have to make the decision myself. But then he came back around the tent. I was like, okay, God, if he goes away and comes back, I'll definitely talk to him the next time. And obviously, God works, and he went away, and he came back. But I still couldn't do it. I just still couldn't talk to him. And I don't know what I was supposed to say to him, and I do really regret it. There's a thing that Mike Pilavachi says at Soul Survivor whenever he's about to pray for someone. He says that he'd rather risk it and get it wrong than not know and regret it. I'll just leave you with some Bible verses before John comes up and speaks. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid?" And 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline."
Oh, whoa. So, my turn.
Apologise for the voice. I've got a cold. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm blaming on. So, like many other people who went to Soul Survivor, again, this starts before Soul Survivor, and something I've been struggling with for a while is guidance. And I had no idea of what I wanted to do after college, and still don't, really. I don't know whether I'm doing a gap year, which Daniel wants me to do a lot, and encourages me to do at every opportunity. I don't know whether I'm going straight into university. I don't know what university I want to go to. I don't know what course I want to do at university, and I'm speaking really quickly. I'll try and slow down. And it's sort of made worse by the fact that my brother, yes, my darling brother over there, he always seems to know what he's doing when it comes to this sort of thing, and he's shaking his head. But it was a couple of years ago, he came back from Soul Survivor, and he knew he wanted to do a gap year, and he knew he wanted to go on BMS action teams, and then he knew he wanted to go to LST, and... Yeah, he always seems... Yeah, he's looking really... Yeah. and I've never got that. It feels sort of like God has been giving all of his guidance to Daniel. And then there's just me going, "Hi, God, you got any left for me?" No, it's all right, I'll come back next year. And my iPod's just turned itself off, excuse me. There we go. And I struggle with this. And when I go to Soul Survivor, it's rare that I actually get a big sort of Holy Spirit experience like some other people. Like, I rarely, like, fall over. Or I did once. or get massive pictures or encouragement. If I do think that God's speaking to me, I'm never entirely sure is from God. It might just be my own thought that's popped into my head. I'll give you an example. Every time there's a ministry time at Soul Survivor that we invite the Holy Spirit in to meet with us, I seem to always get like a shaking feeling and like goosebumps going up my spine, and that's about it. And I never know if that's the Holy Spirit or if I'm just cold. Because it is a cold tent. And so this Soul Survivor, it seemed to happen again. There was a prayer time on the last night, and I was praying, and I think Steve and Chris were praying for me. And I wasn't really getting any pictures or anything in my head. I was asking for him to, like, guide me. And because, yeah, this talk is about guidance. You may have forgotten that. but I wasn't really getting anything. Have you ever seen, like, an untuned television? That it's like the snow effect on screen. It was sort of like that. It was like a murky greyness, nothing really happening. And then, like, a white sphere appeared and sort of floated into my hand. And then they stopped praying for me, and I sort of sat back and was like, what was that, God? I have no idea what you were trying to say to me there. And then a little bit later on in worship, I sort of got a really vivid thought that he was saying to me, "You may not know the plans I have for you, but I do, and I am with you." And that was a massive encouragement for someone who still has no idea what they want to do. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but God does. And his plans are good. So, yeah. The other thing I sort of got... And I think a lot of people get it after Soul Survivor, that it's easy to fall back into going back into, well, it's a real big hype being at Soul Survivor, and you get a real encouragement. And you always think, yeah, I'm really going to live for God now. And then you sort of fall back into everyday life, and you fall back into old ways and old sin. And it's easy to do that. And I'm guilty of that, and I assume, well, I guess a lot of us probably are. And Steve's nodding, good. There was one night we were singing Spirit Breakout, which we're going to sing in a minute. And I got a thought in my head quite vividly that as we can fall into the trap of putting God into like a single room of our lives, like if our life is a house, then we can like shut God away in a single room and just go in there in special occasions when we need something from him. Like if we want healing or if we're at Soul Survivor. But we need God to break down those walls and let him fill the entire house instead of just that single room that we go to in special occasions. So if the band would like to come up, we're going to sing Spirit Break Out.
Hi. Sorry, I don't really want to touch the remote, the microphone, because my hands are pretty sweaty. Probably didn't want to hear that. Okay, so I'm going to talk about visions of the Holy Spirit and what happens, and also an experience I had. I'm going to start off with what happened and what I felt when I felt the Holy Spirit come on me. Well, I was sitting in the meeting just thinking about all the tough situations I've been in and am in at the moment. Then I saw a vision. I was in a war and I kept trying to escape from it. But every time I got out of it, I would just keep getting pulled back in, and that's where it finished. But I didn't really get what it meant. And the next day, I was in my tent, and Laura came in and was saying that my experience might have been about the armor of God, and it was meaning that I didn't need to be frightened and leave anything, because God is protecting us always. That really helped, because some of you know that I have epilepsy, and after hearing that, it helped being told that I am protected, and I really need that in that time. Here is a verse from 2 Corinthians 1, 21 to 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stay firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his soul of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. This is suggesting that the Holy Spirit is always in our hearts, and that everyone is standing firm in Christ because of it. There is also another thing that is given by the Holy Spirit, that is gifts, and here is just a few of them. There's the gift of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpreting tongues, and the gift of help, which is having the desire and ability to help others to do whatever it takes to get a task accomplished. It may take days, months, years for you to see the gift, but it will always come. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all are equal, meaning not one is better than the other. And there are some things that you should know about the Holy Spirit as well, which are the Holy Spirit is a person in spirit form. It gives you the sense of belonging, comforts you, it's your guide, gives you gifts, empowers you, and you can call on the Holy Spirit at any time. If the Holy Spirit does enter you, there are lots of different things that can happen. You might shake, cry, scream, fall, and many other amazing things that can happen. But if none of this happens to you, it doesn't matter, because God loves you, and no matter what happens, you're fine. Thank you for listening. I'm now going to pass over to Steve.
Jenny, that was good. So this year at Soul Survivor, I felt like I really grew in my faith, and there was a lot of moments where I encountered the Holy Spirit, and I've learnt a lot. There was one evening where, due to the typically freezing nights and rainy weather at Soul Survivor, I wasn't feeling on top form, and I felt pretty drained physically and mentally. So during the evening session, I prayed to God that he would renew my energy and give me strength. I really just wanted to continue to enjoy the rest of the week and be able to worship God with all of my energy. So when Mike, one of the speakers at Seoul, called people to come up if they felt in need of prayer, I went. I was prayed for, and God blessed me with an incredible sense of peace. He removed the stress and the strain I was experiencing. I then got a message, not as an audible voice, but a clear message from God. He was telling me that I needed to stop clinging on to having control over my life and just relax and let him take the driver's seat. I tried to let this soak in, and it made me realize how much more I could lean on God and trust in him with each day. When I went back to our youth group after prayer, Declan came over to me and gave me a verse. It was Philippians 2, verse 13, which says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Declan actually gave it to me in the Amplified version, and this says, "For it is God who is at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire to work for his pleasure and satisfaction and delight." So through that experience, I really felt God just saying that even though I may not know what's coming in the future, I need to just lean and trust in him. And I need to let him work through me by being focused on listening to him each day. This did make me feel energized and less worried about the future. Another thing I learned from Seoul was just how important prayer is. As a youth group, we have felt encouraged to try and build closer relationships where we can trust and rely on each other. During Seoul, we really grew close as a group, and I think this is largely down to prayer. God really worked through us praying for each other each day, and so that's something I want us to keep doing as a group, just praying for each other regularly about minor things, but also the things that we're struggling with. There was plenty of other moments that I felt God's presence, and the whole week was extremely encouraging. However, I now feel motivated to not just leave it all behind at Seoul, but to keep on pursuing a closer relationship with God and those around me.